So yeah, 21 days of prayer is complete. I'm going to end this focus that we've had on prayer with one more sermon on the topic, though, before we move on. January is kind of the time in our church calendar when we focus in on prayer. You know, we will have a prayer marathon, of course, over Easter weekend, like we always do, and that's always good. But this is kind of the time. January is the kind of time when we focus in on this particular aspect of being a disciple of Jesus. Not something we stop doing, though, of course, at the end of January. I guess with Paul Ramel preaching on Bible reading last Sunday, sandwiched around my two sermons on prayer here, we're really kind of hitting some of the basics. A couple of the foundational elements by which we fashion this relationship with God. So yeah, prayer is a big, important part of that. So one more sermon on the subject here today. And as was the case in my previous sermon to you a couple weeks ago, some of the material we'll look at today is stuff we've talked about in the past. Some of it will be new. In that sermon two Sundays ago, we looked together at what Jesus prayed about and who Jesus prayed for. And today we're going to look at how Jesus taught us to pray and how he prayed. So again, last sermon it was what Jesus prayed about and who he prayed for. Today we're going to look at how he taught us to pray and look at how he prayed as it's described to us in the New Testament. Prayer mattered a great deal to our master, and he provided quite a bit of teaching on it. And you know that when the master is teaching, the disciples are listening, right? So let's do that. And Lord Jesus, your disciples are here now. We're gathered in your presence. And boy, we would love it if you were bodily here as you were with your disciples that we read about in the New Testament, but we know that you're here nonetheless. And so, Holy Spirit, work in our hearts and help us to see the things that you want us to see today and to put them into practice. Amen. So not a three-point sermon today, is more of a list sermon, and you've got a fill-in-the-blank form that will help guide you through there as we do this. Now would be the time to grab that and a pen and the chairs ahead of you if you're going to work through that. 9 short points on prayer today. We can learn a lot from Jesus about prayer. So let's begin our work on that list then. Here we go. Number 1, Jesus taught us to pray with genuine motives and humility. Jesus taught us to pray with genuine motives and humility. Luke chapter 18, Jesus told this parable. 2 men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers and evildoers and adulterers, even this tax collector over here. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Jesus taught us to pray with genuine motives and with humility. Luke 20. While all the people were listening, Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and love to be greeted with respect in the marketplace and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. But they devour widows' houses, and for a show they make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely. And when you pray," and this is Matthew 6 now, Jesus still talking, "do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen, and then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Jesus taught us to pray with genuine motives and in humility. Number two, Jesus taught us to be persistent in our prayers. Jesus taught us to be persistent in our prayers. Again, Luke chapter 18. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care about what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me." Not getting the answer you want from God? Well, here is the master telling you to not give up in your praying. Keep knocking on the door. Keep praying. Be persistent in your prayers. Point number two. And then number three, Jesus taught us to pray with great faith in God. Jesus taught us to pray with great faith in God. Mark chapter 11, Jesus said, "Have faith in God. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them." We've wrestled with this passage before in a sermon here and determined that Jesus was using a teaching style called hyperbole there. And hyperbole is a teaching style that uses exaggeration to teach an important point. And if we're right about that, then it sure would seem that the important point Jesus is making in this statement and in other similar passages in the Gospels is that God can do amazing things when people pray in faith. God can do amazing things when people pray in faith. So, yeah, God, again, as we say here, he's not a prayer answer vending machine, okay? Situation's more complicated than just pray and get exactly what you ask for each time. But the point remains here, though, God can do amazing things when we pray in faith. So when you pray, pray in with great faith in God. He is able. Something that Jesus taught us about how to pray. Our next points then come from observing how Jesus prayed rather than what he taught us about how to pray. This is point number four. Jesus prayed alone and he prayed in small groups. We should too. Jesus prayed alone and he also prayed in small groups. We should too. Matthew 14. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. And if you read the Bible, you know that there are a number of moments where this kind of thing is described in the Gospels, where Jesus got away by himself for a concentrated time of prayer with his Father. Do you do that? Do you make effort to get away by yourself for concentrated times of prayer? Luke 9. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. So Jesus is also often described as either praying with his disciples or at least very near to his disciples. It's not always clear if they were actually praying with him or not, but given that Jesus elsewhere encourages us to pray in small groups, wherever two or three are gathered, in my name, there I am with them, I would guess that he did regularly pray with his disciples. So do you pray regularly in small groups of fellow disciples? Jesus prayed alone. He prayed in small groups. We should do these things too. Point number five. Did you notice there were a couple similarities in those last two passages about where Jesus prayed? Number five, Jesus often prayed out in nature and we should too at times. Jesus often prayed out in nature. Look at those two verses again. This is we'll put it back on the board. First Matthew 14. And then Luke 9. When Jesus got away to pray, he went to the mountains. Right? I don't know about you, but I have often found it easier to get into God's presence when I'm praying out in nature. And Jesus did this too. He got up on the side of the mountain, or we could think of him praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? I think there's something about getting away from our normal surroundings and getting out into God's creation that can bring us closer to God. So that's point number five. Jesus often prayed out in nature. I think we should do that too from time to time. Okay, here's a challenging one. Imitators of Jesus. On occasion, Jesus would pray all night long. We should too. On occasion, Jesus would pray all night long. We should too. Let's look at the mountainside passage from Matthew 14 again. We'll keep reading it this time. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake, and when the disciples saw him, they thought it was a ghost. You know that story. The thing I want us to notice today, though, is not the normal thing we talk about when we look at this particular Bible story. I want us to notice that Jesus was on that mountain praying all night long. And here's Luke 6, a different occasion in Jesus' life. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray. He spent the night praying to God. And when morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he designated as apostles. So another mountainside time of prayer for Jesus. And again, he spent the whole night there in prayer. If you're like me, you're wondering, what would I pray about for the entire night long? That's a fair question. And you might remember another passage where Jesus actually instructs us not to babble on and on in our prayers. So you could reasonably ask how we're supposed to square that instruction with the idea of a full night of prayer. But I'm guessing that this, Jesus' lips weren't necessarily moving the entire time. Okay, I think this was more about him being in his Father's presence. He probably spent a good amount of time listening for his Father to speak. Have you tried that? So, maybe the idea here for us is that we ought to occasionally seek out more lengthy concentrated time periods to just be with God. Your lips don't have to be moving the entire time, you know. Just be in God's presence. Not sure exactly that's what Jesus was doing, but that's my guess. In any case, Jesus would occasionally do prayer all-nighters. There's no command from him for us to do that, but, so that's why maybe I put that question mark on the end of that one. Okay, we should do this too. But hey, if we're wanting to imitate Jesus, that's something that he did. So maybe the question mark shouldn't be there. I don't know. Point number six, on occasion, Jesus would pray all night long. Number seven, Jesus prayed to God with intimacy, and we should as well. Jesus prayed to God with intimacy, and we should as well. Jesus called God his Father. And it's really clear that Father and Son are close. And if we go back to the prayer that Jesus offered to us as a model, the prayer we call the Lord's Prayer, we'll see in it that Jesus also instructed his followers to call God Father. We can call him Father too. This then is how you should pray, he said. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. What a privilege that is, right? To be considered children of the Creator God and to be able to come to him and call him Dad. So Jesus prayed to God with intimacy, and he told us that we can do that too. Number eight, Jesus prayed with honesty. He was real with God, and I think we should pray in this way too. Jesus prayed with honesty. He was real with God. We should pray in this way too. Previous sermon, we looked at this. In the hours before he was arrested, Jesus asked God if he could be spared the pain he knew he was about to face on the cross. He was real with God, expressed his emotions there. Even more startling was one of Jesus' final prayers before his death as he hung on the cross from Matthew 27. About 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Apparently, it's okay even to question God from time to time. I think the point is that God wants to have a relationship with us. So it's okay to be real with him. Jesus prayed with honesty. He was real with God. We should pray in this way as well. And then point number 9 is really more of a summary of kind of everything that we've looked at to this point. Number 9, Jesus regularly and often made time for prayer in his life, and we should too. We'll repeat that one. Jesus regularly and often made time for prayer in his life, and we should too. It's clear from reading the Gospels that Jesus prayed to his Father God all the time. Author Charles Nienkirchen wrote that Jesus lived a prayer-saturated lifestyle, and that he had a relentless passion to live in unison with his Father. Nienkirchen also wrote that the Gospels portray Jesus' relationship with his Father as exuding a startling kind of dialogue, characterized by intimacy, candor, respect, trust, and affection. Prayer served as the daily sanctuary of his life, in which he found rest, consolation, direction, and rejuvenation. Prayer was a very high priority for Jesus. In John chapter 15, Jesus recorded that he taught. In John 15, it was recorded that Jesus taught, that he was like a vine, and that his disciples were to be the branches on that vine, right? And if they would remain in him to that level, he said they would bear much fruit. I think this is what Jesus was doing with all that prayer. He was remaining in God. He was staying connected to his Father, nurturing that relationship, allowing that Holy Spirit to move in him and to flow through him. And so he encourages us to do the same thing, to remain in him so that the Holy Spirit can flow through us. A big part of this, disciples, is, and this is in addition to Bible study and to worshiping God in church and so forth. A big part of this remaining in God effort is to be accomplished through prayer. So we remain in him. We stay attached to the vine through regular prayer. That's what Jesus was doing. He regularly and often made time for prayer in his life, and we should too. All right, well, before I recap the 9 points for us and bring our time here to a close, just a couple personal thoughts on prayer first. I have experienced prayer to be an amazing, life-altering practice in my life. I will admit to you as well, though, that at times prayer frustrates me. God, he just doesn't speak to us like we're used to being spoken to by other human beings. And so a lot of times there's silence, and that can be frustrating. And, I think at times it feels strange. Am I talking to the wall, However, I can't tell you how many times I have been praying about something in my life that's been bothering me, or praying about a situation with a person that's been especially difficult, or praying about a scenario I haven't known how to respond to, etc. And as I've prayed about that thing, even though I didn't hear an audible voice or anything like that, ideas come to my mind about how to handle that situation that I was praying about in a godly way. And this peace comes over me, and I'm like, why didn't I think of that before, That kind of thing happens to me often in prayer. I wonder about you. So, in retrospect, I am certain that because of my prayer times with God, I've made hundreds of decisions and taken hundreds of actions in the face of difficulty in a much more godly way than I would have if I hadn't been praying. So, prayer has had a direct impact on the trajectory of my life, if you think about it in that way. And again, none of that involved any obvious supernatural voice speaking to me, but I believe that God was speaking to me in those things and shepherding me and moving me, helping me to find answers. And, I've told you this in the past as well. There have been a small handful of times in my life, maybe countable on one hand, two hands at the most, where I believe that I have heard a supernatural voice in my head, or I've had some kind of a experience that seemed supernatural. Doesn't seem like the right word, but I'm not sure what else word to use there. This also was not an audible voice, but it was a voice in my head that truly did not feel like my own normal self voice, right? And the messages I got from the words in my head in those circumstances, at least on a couple of occasions, were then backed up by events that happened later on. It's awesome. So there have been a few experiences like that. And in addition to that kind of thing, Anna and I have seen answers to some of our prayers that we've looked at and just known it could only have come from God. So that's awesome stuff. I'm so grateful to have had those experiences. And although I'll tell you that having been through stuff like that sometimes makes it just more frustrating when God's not working like that, because you know what it can be like. You know what's possible. So yeah, I've experienced some things that I would say have been direct communications to God, and the feeling of the Holy Spirit working in me in unusual ways, in addition to those more quiet ways when all of a sudden I kind of know how to handle a scenario. And all of this stuff happened while I was praying to him, or, you know, in answer to prayers that I had made. And this leads me into the thought I'd like to leave you with today, which is this. When you pray, you open up the possibility for God to do something amazing in response. When you pray, you open up the possibility for God to do something amazing in response. We said something similar to this earlier in the sermon, but it's worth coming back to this. So when you pray, God might communicate to you in a supernatural way like I'm talking about there. He might. Or, you know, one of these spiritual gifts may come upon you while you are praying. Communicates to us in that way, works in us. Or God might give you the answer to something that you have prayed for. Maybe even a healing. We've seen that a couple of times here at Calvary in my time here. Yeah, you know, most of the time we don't see miraculous responses like that, but at times we have. And so the point here again is that when you pray, you open up the possibility that something like that could happen, that God might answer in that kind of way. So I think that means we should be in prayer, right? Here's Jesus' teaching in Matthew 6, verse 6. We actually read it earlier, but look at it again. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. We get rewarded for praying at times. It says, that's interesting. God rewarding you is a great thing that can happen if you make time to pray. And then on one of these occasions where Jesus went up on the mountain to pray with three of his disciples, this happened. From Luke 9, as Jesus was praying, the appearance of his face changed. His clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. So there, Jesus made time to pray to his Father, and what we call the transfiguration happened. And Moses and Elijah, long gone from the earth, appeared before them. That had to be a bit of an encouragement to Jesus and his three disciples. Standing there looking at this, and because of prayer. I suppose we maybe shouldn't expect God to do that kind of thing for us when we pray, but the point again is that Jesus sought God out. He made time to pray. He was a praying person, and God rewarded him with that incredible experience. So when you pray, you open up the possibility for God to do something amazing in response. Well, let's go back over our 9 points now and just look at them again here. So here's what we have learned today from our Master Jesus about prayer. Number one, Jesus taught us to pray with genuine motives and with humility. Jesus taught us, number two, to be persistent in our prayers. Number three, Jesus taught us to pray with great faith in our God. Number four, Jesus prayed alone and he prayed in small groups. We should do that as well. Number five, Jesus often prayed out in nature. I think we should do that too at times. Number six, on occasion, Jesus would pray all night long. We should too. Jesus prayed, number seven, to God with intimacy. and we should too. Number 8, Jesus prayed with honesty. He was real with God. We should pray in this way too. And number 9, Jesus regularly and often made time for prayer in his life. We should as well. Prayer is vitally important. It is one of the foundational elements through which a life-giving relationship with God takes place. And when you pray, you open up the possibility for God to do something amazing in response. 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Lord Jesus, as we here at Calvary continue to seek to better and better become your disciples, I would ask that you would continue to remind us and encourage us to be people of prayer. Move in us, Holy Spirit. Call us to pray. And then when we do come to you in prayer, you know, assuming that we are doing it in the ways that you taught and in some of which we've studied here this morning, I would pray that you would work in us and work through us, that we would see your hand at work, that we would see your Holy Spirit at work in response to our prayers, not because you owe us that, but because we want to know you, Lord God. We want to experience you. We want to interact with you, Holy God. We want to see your purposes accomplished in the world. And so we humbly call upon you and ask you to be working in our midst here so that the world may know that you are God. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in Madison and the surrounding area as it is in heaven.